Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare. Gopi jana balaba iri baro dhauti. Gopi jana balaba iri baro dhauti. Gopi nana balaba iri baro dhauti. Yasunanana braja jano ranjana Yasunanana braja jano ranjana Jamuna tera manachade Yamuna tira vanachati Jai ho Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare Jai ho Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare Gopi Nana Vallabha Iri Baru Dante Gopi Nana Vallabha Iri Baladhari Yasuna Nandana Maraja Jana Nandana Yasuna Nandana Maraja Jana Nandana Jamuna Tera Panachade Yamuna Tera Panachade Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Osutada Sitashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chatadana Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Vilas Thakur Ki Jai Premse Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopinath Shyam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturam Kijai, Jagannatha Swami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Srimati Lassi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bhom. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 20th chapter, text 45. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aslisha Sama Shitoshnang Prasuna Vana Marutam Janas Tapang Jahur Gopyo Na Krishna Rita Chetasaha Aslisha Samas Shitoshnam Prasunavana Marutam Janastapam Jahur Gopyo Na Krishna Ritta Chetasa Aslisha Samashitoshnam Prasunavana Marutam Janastapam Jahur Gopyo Na Krishna Ritta Chetasaha Ashlishya Samashitoshnam Prasunavana Marutam Janastapam Jahur Gopyo Na Krishna Rita Chetasaha Ashlisha, embracing. Sama, equal. Shita Ushnam, between cold and heat. Prasuna Vanta, of the forest of flowers. Marutam, the wind. Janaha, the people in general. Tapam, suffering. Jahu, we're able to abandon. Gopyaha, the gopis. Not. Krishna, by Lord Krishna. Arita, stolen. Chetasaha, whose hearts. Translation, except for the gopis, whose hearts had been stolen by Krishna, the people could forget their suffering by embracing the wind coming from the flower-filled forest. This wind was neither hot nor cold. You can repeat. Except for the gopis, whose hearts had been stolen by Krishna, The people could forget their suffering by embracing the winds coming from the flower-filled forest. This wind was neither hot nor cold. So there's no purport to this text, so we're going to read the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and the other acharyas. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states, the wind of the autumn season is not too hot and not too cold, sama shitoshna. By embracing this wind, everyone was relieved of heat except the gopis because they were suffering due to separation from Krishna. Instead of decreasing their suffering, it increased it. In order to preserve the sequence of analogies in this verse, some explain the verse as follows. Just like the gopis whose hearts have been stolen by Krishna embraced him to get back their hearts, they could not. So the other people embraced the wind and got relief from the heat. Jiva Goswami says, the gopis were singled out. The gopis are singled out. They could not be relieved of the suffering because their hearts were stolen by Krishna. By the wind, their suffering increased further. This is made clear by using the word stolen. Entering into the yogi's mind, he creates auspiciousness, but stealing the minds of the gopis, he creates suffering. Though verse 42 mentions that the gopis' distress was relieved, that was a little later condition. This verse describes a previous condition, and Sanatana Goswami says, people deeply experienced ashlesha, the breeze which was gentle, sama, between hot and cold. It was not hot like the summer wind, nor cold like the wind at the end of autumn. The breeze was cool and fragrant with jasmine blossoms. This is like the spring season. People gave up the natural suffering arising from the autumn sun during the day as well. But the gopis did not give up suffering arising from separation or from the very nature of prema. Since they were absorbed in Krishna, the breeze was a stimulus, udipan, by which they remembered him more. This gave them more pain. Because this condition was extraordinary, a scriptural example is not given as in previous verses. However, one can add the example that by drinking excellent panaka, everyone increases their happiness or their suffering. I don't know what panaka is. Anyway, but you get the point. So, Om Gana Timadanda Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Miditam. So before going to the light of Bhagavat and other quotations from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I just want to explain what is happening here. I mean, of course, I can't give a 100% explanation because this is a very deep topic. But basically what is happening here is something called a vibhava. So in the study of bhavas, or emotions, because devotional service is meant for experiencing emotions, all sorts of emotions, ecstatic emotions, miserable emotions, intense jealousy when you get to the highest platform. So it's not that devotional service is like impersonalism, where you just give up emotions, just like we have a little girl who sits here all day long and she doesn't experience any, I don't know what she's experiencing anyway, I can't say. Which is actually kind of boring because happiness comes from experiencing intense emotions. Just like we've given the example many times before that oftentimes when we were young we would do things so we would experience intense emotions such as go on roller coasters, go on a parachute jump, you know, just so we can experience this intense emotions, take risks, go skiing. Snow skiing was one of my favorite activities when I was young. Of course, in Slovenia, you do the same thing. So we go up these slopes and then down the slope. And obviously, many people broke their legs. My father actually almost broke his back going down the ski slopes, and I almost fell off a cliff. I went all the way up to a cliff, and my skis were hanging halfway off the cliff. somehow I was able to stop myself. So anyway, so we love these intense emotions. We go to horror movies, or right now with politics, there's a lot of intense emotions being exhibited, and people really get off on it. You know, it's really nice. Not nice. But anyway, people like it. It's just like they're alive. Of course, they're alive in demoniac ways, crazy ways now, but they feel much more alive now, I think, than before because of these intense emotions. So bhavas are emotions. And there's different categories of bhavas, and the one we're going to talk about right now is called a vibhava. Vibhava means that which stimulates a particular emotion. And as mentioned by the acharyas, there's alambana and udipana. Here it's an udipana. Now I'll describe what an udipana is. Alambana means when you directly see Krishna. And udipana means things that remind you of Krishna. So in this particular case, the wind, which is embracing everybody, is reminding them of Krishna because it's embracing. And they remember by any sort of embracing, whether they see someone else embracing someone else, or the wind's embracing them, or someone embraces their cat or dog, like nowadays, of course, in Vrindavan, I don't know if they did that. They just remember being embraced by Krishna. It brings back that memory. And it stimulates immediately that feeling. And that feeling with the gopis and pure devotees, all pure devotees, is extremely intense. The example I often give is that of Mukunda, who was advising the Muslim ruler. And when he saw the peacock feather that was fanning the Muslim ruler, it reminded him of Krishna, and it was so intense he just fainted and fell to the ground. Just a little thing of a pure devotee, just a little thing can stimulate an extremely intense emotion. And what to speak of the gopis. And, you know, we saw that with Prabhupada once in a while when Prabhupada went to Miami and also in Caracas, Venezuela, when he saw the deities and he thought about how far away this particular place is from Sridham, Mayapur. I remember the first time I saw Prabhupada. That was one of the first things Prabhupada said. He said, I'm happy to be here in this place that is so far away from Sridham Mayapur. It was in Gainesville, Florida. And I was thinking, so far away. I mean, this is the center of the world, America, you know. Center of the world. Anyway, so these things stimulate even just a little tiny thing. And I was thinking about this pastime also with Radharani. That once upon a time, Krishna and Radharani were together. And there was a bee that was bothering Shribati Radharani. Excuse me. And Krishna called for his Brahmin friend Madhu Mangal to get rid of the bee. And Madhu Mangal got rid of the bee. And when he got rid of the bee, he wanted to assure Shrimati Radharani that the bee was gone. And what he said was, Madhu is gone. Now, Madhu means like honey, and in Hindi, Madhu Makki means honeybee. And Makki just means ordinary fly. Anyway, that's a little Hindi for you. So, and as soon as she said, Madhu, the bee is gone, Radharani took it as what? She took it as that Krishna is gone, even though Krishna was right there in front of her. You know, can you imagine that stimulates you, you know, that you're in love so much. Like if you had a couple here, we're not going to mention names of couples, don't worry. So if you had a couple, you know, Joe and Jill or something like that, and they were both together, and you would just say to Jill, Joe is gone now. I mean, just imagine that scenario. And Jill would just like, just lose it. I mean, completely go unconscious and lose it. And finally, in this particular case with Srimati Radharani, they had to reassure Srimati Radharani that Krishna was still there. And then she felt better. So it's like that. I mean, even the blinking of the eyes was too intense for the gopis, especially for Srimati Radharani. And you know the story that Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they would curse Lord Brahma for creating eyes that close for an instant. You know, who even recognizes when your eyes are blinking? I mean, I'm sure I'm blinking my eyes from time to time here, and I'm not even aware of it. You know, I still see you all very clearly in spite of blinking my eyes. But that's how much love. And anyway, so it's a very intense thing. So the two types of stimulation, alambana and udipana, are stimulations for love. And then what follows that, or for emotion, is the anubhava. Anubhava means basically things that are voluntary that someone executes, like someone starts dancing, oh, I've seen my beloved, or I'm remembering my beloved, or even one on above is like saliva dripping from the mouth. Of course, in the material world, that saliva dripping from the mouth is considered a sign of ignorance. It's described that when one sleeps and there's saliva dripping from the mouth, it's understood the ghost can harass you because it's unclean. But these are symptoms of love. And then, of course, after that, then you have the sattvika bhavas, I mean, the constitutional ecstasies that come from the touch with the vishuddha sattva, transcendental mode of goodness, that are part of your nature. And then vyabhachari bhavas, the uncontrolled ecstasies. And, of course, then, obviously, it's all based upon what's called the sthayi bhava, your relationship with Krishna. You're in the mood of a particular relationship with Krishna. Anyway, so this is really what's being mentioned here. And the stimulation for, in this particular case, whoops, I have to read from here, a stimulation for separation from Krishna. And let's read the purport here that Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's translation of this particular verse. At night, in autumn, the atmosphere is pleasant because it is neither very hot nor very cold. The mild wind blowing through the gardens and fruits and flowers in Vrindavan appeared very much pleasing to all but the gopis, who were always overtaken by heartfelt sorrow in the absence of Krishna. And Prabhupada comments, there are two kinds of transcendental feelings for those engaged in the worship of the Lord. One is called Samboga, and the other is called viroho, which means separation. Samboga means connection. According to authorities in the disciplic line, viraha worship is more palatable than samboga worship. Samboga takes place in direct touch, whereas viraha takes place without such direct contact. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to accept that viraha worship. In the present state of affairs, we cannot make any direct touch with the personality of Godhead. But if we practice the Varaha mode of worship, we can transcendentally realize the presence of the Lord more lovingly than in his presence. Wow. So Prabhupada says Prabhupada's advocating that we should practice this Varaha mode of worship. And actually we see this in the activities of the six Goswamis. Of course, they're not simply practicing. They're perfect. Hey Radhe, Brajat Devake, hey Nanda, Shuno, Kuta, Srinivasacharya comments like this. Oh Radha, oh Krishna, where are you? Hey Nanda, Shuno, Kuta. You know, just like very emotional. Running around, it's described they were running around Vrindavan and just like looking for Krishna the whole time. Because that's like Parikshit, you know, examiner, looking for Krishna. So Prabhupada indicates that we should perform devotional service in this mood. That doesn't mean that we should be running around Nugaloka chanting, you know, Radha, Krishna, where are you? Maybe we should. But anyway, so it means we should be feeling, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated when he was, he said, I have no love for Krishna. If actually I had love for Krishna, I would not be able to live. You know, many of us are very proud thinking we have so much love for Krishna. pride is actually a very dangerous thing. Actually, Prabhupada said a devotee should not consider himself to be a devotee or herself to be a devotee. Should consider we're aspiring to be devotees. Just like right now, we're discussing in the GBC conference, like, where we're all going to put our samadhis. And the discussion is, I'm one of the pioneers or prominent, I should be right by Prabhupada Samadhi in Mayapur. And then I commented that maybe there's a little bit of pride. It's not that just because we happen to be Prabhupada disciples that makes us any better, more of a pioneer, more surrendered to Krishna. You know, people take this whole concept that if you do something big, you're actually more advanced than if you do something small. And in this letter I wrote to the GBC conference, I said, look at the example of Hanuman and the spider. Generally, people chant the, what about Hanuman Chalisa, but nobody chants the spider Chalisa. But Lord Ram said the spider is just, isn't it? So we have this mood that we're just like really advanced in devotional service, but that keeps us from crying out to Krishna. And of course, as stated in the Shikshashika, only when a trinada piece na tarari vasihishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Basically, I'm turning this verse around a little bit. Only when you're able to feel yourself more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others, can you actually chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Because to be able to chant the holy name of the Lord constantly, there has to be some bhav or emotion there. You can chant ritualistically for some time, or you can chant because you want to get liberated, for some time. Or because you want wealth, because you're interested in knowledge, or because you're inquisitive. I mean, you can do it for some time. But actually, there has to be evoke that feeling that another verse of the Shishashika, Ainanda Tanuja Kinkuram, Patitamam Vishame Bhavamburo. Now, that's the same thing about humility. That verse actually is a manifestation of humility, too, in addition to the Trinadapi Sunri Chena verse, that I am your eternal servant, yet somehow or other I have fallen down to this horrible ocean of material existence. Until one actually thinks like that, that I have actually fallen down. Many of us think, I fell down, but I'm here, back. I'm in Krishna consciousness, I'm elevated. Pride, again. Please fix me. It has to be like begging, crying, as we were talking in our class last night about lolium, intense hankering. Intense hankering comes when you think you don't have something. Like the gopis' feelings of separation come when they think that Krishna's not there. Not when Krishna's there, that's sambhog. So we have to have that intense hankering. But intense hankering, the feelings of separation only come when we're humble. Chanada pisuni chena, tirari vasihishnuna. Anyway, so this is what Prabhupada is indicating here, that we have to have this viraha mode of worship. Prabhupada is recommending this viraha mode of worship, but a natural prerequisite for it is humility. And you see this in the Shishashika too, with the verses, before you come to Yugayatam, Nimishena, Chakshusha Pravashayatam, Shunyayatam, Jagat Sarvam, Govira Vidhanime. There's all sorts of humility. Also, when will that day be mine when I feel tears when I chant your holy name? That's also an exhibition of humility or separation. You actually can see many of these verses are actually indicating separation in the Shikshashika, not only Yugayatam Nimishena. Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patita Mam Vishvay Bhagavano Kripya Tava Padapaka Ja Stita Duli Sadrasam Pachintaya. That, you know, a lot of these verses show like intense hankering, intense what volume. And actually Rupa Goswami says that's the price for pure devotional service. It's also the intense hankering for things of this material world are detrimental to devotional service, causes a fall down from Krishna consciousness. Like if I'm thinking, like someone sent me a message, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, a Tesla. You know, so that's also deviation from Krishna consciousness. When will that day be mine? You know, and if I'm, yeah, thank you for reminding me about that poem, not about the Tesla. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur also exhibits this in many of his poems. Like Gopinath, Mama Nabena Nashuno, Vishaya Durjana. What is it? Shuno, I am devoid. You know, Shunyayitam, the same word there, yeah. I have no good qualities. Vishaya Durjana. You know, you have, Durjana means I'm a bad guy, basically. Vishaya, I'm involved in sense gratification. So all these are prerequisites to be able to have this mood of viraha. And you see this with Srimati Radharani. And Lord Chaitanya is showing this extreme humility. Extreme humility. Anyway, so this is a very interesting statement by Prabhupada. But if we practice the viraha mode of worship, we can transcendentally realize the presence of the Lord more lovingly than in his presence. So Prabhupada is indicating we should practice this. Let me continue reading. Actually, there's quite a bit here. Without love of God, Godhead, there is no meaning even to direct contact. During the presence of the Lord, there were thousands and thousands of men, but because they were not in love of Godhead, they could hardly realize the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The Prabhupada said only a handful of people realize who Krishna was. Therefore, we must first activate our dormant love of Godhead by following the prescribed rules and by following the footsteps of the authorities who are actually fixed in love of Godhead. The gopis provide the highest example of such unalloyed love of Godhead, and Lord Chaitanya, at the ultimate stage of realization, displayed the viraha worship in the mood of the gopis. Actually, I just want to unpack another thing that I heard Prabhupada say this morning. He said, by following the footsteps of the authorities who were actually fixed in love of Godhead. So Prabhupada was questioned by Mr. Patel, actually, in Juhu. He was questioned, you know, how have you achieved such success? You know, what is your secret? How have you achieved such success? And Prabhupada said, I simply followed the order of my spiritual master who told me to print and distribute books. Prabhupada specifically made that point. To write, print, and distribute books and not pay so much attention to temple construction. It's interesting. So this is actually the secret. Follow in the footsteps of the authorities who are actually fixed in love of Godhead. In the mundane world, there's also some shadow of such viraha. A loving wife, husband, or friend may for some time be maddened by the absence of the beloved. Such a state of mind, however, is not permanent. The loving husband or wife takes to another and forgets everything of the past. This is so because there is no reality to such relationships in the material world. However, if devotees have relationships with each other in this world, this does not apply. We actually do not forget the person. We do not substitute someone else in the relationship. Just like with Srila Prabhupada, when Srila Prabhupada left the planet, it's not that I thought that I have to put someone else in his place because he's no longer with us. And actually, spiritual relationships are such that the person is always with you if you remember them. That's the point. Like if I remember Prabhupada and I serve Prabhupada, there's no separation. Like Prabhupada said, he was never separated from his spiritual master. The spiritual situation, however, is completely different. A bona fide lover of God could never forget him, even in exchange for everything else. The devotee of the Lord cannot be happy in any circumstance without the Lord. In the absence of the Lord and the devotee associates with him, in the absence of the Lord, the devotee associates with him by remembering his separation and In the absence of the Lord, the devotee associates with him, by remembering his separation, and because the Lord is absolute, the devotee's feeling of separation is transcendentally more relishable than direct contact, even though it's painful. This is possible only when we develop genuine love for him. In that state, the devotee is always with the Lord by feelings of separation, which become more acute and intolerable in suitable circumstances. The mild wind reminded the gopis of the association of the Lord, and they felt separation from him acutely. And then finally, I just want to read something from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Radharani's separation or mood of separation from Krishna. And this, of course, is coming from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental mouth. Is that? Reading from the Anchalila chapter 19. Let's see, we'll start with text 37. And this is intense manifestations of separation exhibited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became more intense when Advaita Acharya sent the message to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, basically, now it's time to leave this world. That's when Lord Chaitanya's, let's say, exhibition of these of the mood of separation became extremely intense to the highest degree. So here's some statements by Lord Chaitanya. The women of Vrindavan are just like lilies growing hot in the sun of lusty desires. But moon-like Krishna makes them all jubilant by bestowing upon the nectar of his hands. My dear friend, where is my moon now? Save my life by showing him to me. My dear friend, where is that beautiful helmet with a peacock feather upon it like a rainbow upon a new cloud? Where are those yellow garments shining like lightning? And where is that necklace of pearls that resemble flocks of ducks flying in the sky? The blackish body of Krishna triumphs over the new blackish rain cloud. If a person's eyes even once capture that beautiful body of Krishna, it remains always prominent within his heart. Krishna's body resembles the sap of the mango tree. For when it enters the minds of women, it does not come out, despite great endeavor. Thus Krishna's extraordinary body is like a thorn of the Seya berry tree. Krishna's bodily luster shines like the Indranila gem and surpasses the luster of the tamal tree. The luster of his body drives the entire world mad because providence has made it transparent by refining the essence of the mellow of conjugal love and mixing it with moonshine. The deep vibration of Krishna's flute surpasses the thundering of new clouds and attracts the aural reception of the entire world. Thus the inhabitants of Vrindavan rise and pursue that sound, drinking the showering nectar of Krishna's bodily luster like thirsty chakaki birds. Krishna is the reservoir of art and culture, and he is the panacea that saves my life. Oh, my dear friend, since I live without him, who is the best among my friends, I condemn the duration of my life. I think that providence has cheated me in many ways. Why does providence continue the life of one who does not wish to live? This thought aroused anger and lamentation in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who then recited a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam that chastises providence and makes an accusation against Krishna. So, in other words, the feelings of separation become so intense in the gopis that they become angry at Krishna. This actually, Nectar Devotion deals with, they become impudent and angry in relationship with Krishna. Oh, providence, you have no mercy. You bring embodied souls together with friendship and affection, but before their desires are fulfilled, you separate them. Your activities are like the foolish pranks of children. Providence, you do not know the purport of loving affairs, and therefore you baffle all of our endeavors. This is very childish of you. If we could catch you, we would give you such a lesson that you would never again make such arrangements. So, amazing, they're angry. Ultimately, Krishna, you know, here. O cruel Providence, you are very unkind, for you bring together in love people who are rarely in touch with each other, then after you have made them meet, but before they are fulfilled, you again spread them far apart. O Providence, you are so unkind, you reveal the beautiful face of Krishna and make the mind and eyes greedy, but after they have drunk that nectar, for only a moment you whisk Krishna away to another place. This is a great sin, because you take away what you have given as charity. Let's see how much time. Oops, another minute. I just want to mention, actually, there's a lot more here. And let me just read one or two more verses. He for whom I have left everything is personally killing me with his own hands. Krishna has no fear of killing women. Indeed, I am dying for him, but he doesn't even turn back to look at me. Within a moment, he has broken off our loving affairs. Yet why should I be angry with Krishna? It is the fault of my own misfortune. The fruit of my sinful activities is ripened, and therefore Krishna, who has always been dependent on my love, is now indifferent. That means that my misfortune is very strong. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lamented in the mood of separation, "Alas, alas, Krishna, where have you gone?" Feeling in his heart the ecstatic emotions of the gopis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agonized in their words, saying, "O Govinda, O Damodar, O Madhava." So these are some of the expressions of love that the gopis had for Krishna. And I just wanted to mention, if you want to understand more about Vipralamba, you can read the Lalita Madhava, which describes what the gopis did, at least explaining their mood. Whether they did it or not is another issue, but explaining their mood when Krishna left Vrindavan. Because in the Lalita Madhava, you have the depiction of the gopis basically leaving their bodies, Srimati Radharani and the other gopis leaving their bodies by different means. So that so they ultimately, of course, they met with Krishna again in Dwarka. So, Jai Shri Shri Radhagalokananda, Radhagalokananda Ki Jai.
Guru Mahārāj Thank you. Jai 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 Krishna,